Mincha is our 1206, 1205. Okay, here is our topic. Yesterday, I was glancing at the news online, and I came across an article that said that this past Monday, the Knesset approved funding to build a, how do you know? A cable car that will travel from one of the main center stations somewhere in Yerushalayim. I'm not at all familiar with the geography of where all these things are located. Wherever it is, a cable car from a very good location, a central location where many people can easily can reach that location through public transportation or even whatever it is, and it will take them directly to the Kosel, right outside the gate of the Kosel HaMaravi. A cable car. I don't know the details, the distance, the cost, and it became a big controversy because the cable car, not because of Shabbos, because the cable car is planned. The cable car is planned to go over, I think, East Jerusalem. It will go over a section of Yerushalayim that is under the control of the Palestinians.
There's no section of Yerushalayim.
What? Then there's another section. I'm confused, but
East Jerusalem.
Whatever it is, this is what it says. I saw this, and I read this on two websites, CNN. And another website, whatever it is, that's not the point. Whatever it was, I saw this, I read two articles, they said pretty much the same thing. They were very short articles this past Monday. I'm just giving you just a very general, some people over here probably under their fingers over here, the quick fingers over there, probably Googling it right now, and tell me all the details about it. But let me say my piece, and then you'll slug me up. Okay, let me just say my piece. Okay, this past Monday, the Knesset approved funding and gave the go-ahead to construct a high-tech cable car that will be constructed over an area of Yerushalayim, which is not in the favor, which is not pleasant for the Palestinians and all of their associates, that Jews should be encroaching upon their airspace to reach the Kosel HaMaravi. It's not just for us. They also get benefit because it also takes them to the Dome of the Rock. It takes them to where they need to get as well. And there's also a complaint by the people who want to preserve the skyline of Yerushalayim. It's going to scar and going to put what they consider to be an eyesore in the beautiful skyline of Yerushalayim, having this monstrosity be constructed in this area. The city, the mayor and the people in government are thrilled with this plan because it can theoretically bring three 3,000 people an hour. Yeah, that's what it says. High tech. 3,000. Three 3,000 people can transport. There's nothing that we have today that can bring 3,000 people an hour, no bus, no train, no nothing, into the Kosel HaMaravi with such ease and such simplicity and safety as well, supposedly. 3,000 people an hour, and it will be a boon for tourism, and it'll be revenue, and it'll make a lot of people's lives a lot easier. Problem is, they're not problems, but as you all imagine, everything in life is all full with controversy and with trouble, and the Palestinians are up in arms. How dare you go and encroach upon our airspace, our territory, v'chulu, certainly all the security experts are all analyzing, is there any danger, are they going to shoot things at it, v'chulu, you can imagine what's going on, and the environmentalists, they're all looking, oh, the beautiful sky, what's going to do with all of our postcards? It's going to ruin the postcards of having these cables and these cars in this territory. Okay, but in any event, the Knesset gave its approval. It's all blessings, go full steam ahead. Immediately came to mind this new country, which I have in my possession, three of them, called Kan Kan. And I remember in the first edition of Kankan, there was a fascinating article, which I never really read, I didn't really read and pay much attention to, called The Flying Bridge. The title of the article is called The Flying Bridge. The Gesher Parachas. A Gesher means a bridge. Parachas, that flies. What is Gesher Parach?
Yeah.
Okay, Gesher Parach. I'm sorry, a Gesher Parach. What in the world is a Gesher? What in the world? Please, no interruption. What in the world is a Gesher Parach? So here is the long and short. About 300 years ago, in a city right outside of Frankfurt, Germany. Okay, there is a city there. The name of the city is called, everything here is new to me, called, I'm probably pronouncing everything wrong, called Koblenz. In Germany, right outside in the Rhineland, there is a city, Koblenz. It was the year 1698. Okay, more than 300 years ago, there was a river which separated Koblenz from, I already forgot all my old information, another little city. And people would travel across this river. There was a river that separated these two cities. It's there today. In fact, today, let's go backwards. Today, if you go, there's a city and people would travel. And they would travel across this river. And there were rafts and there were boats. And it wasn't easy. People had to struggle to get across. And there was a lot of commerce. It seemed that these two cities, there was a lot of business, a lot of activity. People going back and forth, and the government got together, wherever the government was 300 years ago in this city, they got together, and they decided they're going to craft what we're going to call now, in Hebrew, these are goyim who did this. There were not all that many Jews living there at the time, it seems. It doesn't seem it was a very popular place for Jews, but the goyim constructed what the Rabbanan called a Gesher Poireach. And whatever this Gesher Parayach is, to travel across this river. And if you go to exactly that spot today, in the year 2009, I have a picture of it here, that spot today, you will see there today, there is a cable car. In fact, the most advanced cable car in the world. This cable car can transport 6,500 people an hour. And it's widely used today. Hayoim. Koblenz. Today, Hayoim. I have a picture over here of it today. There's a cable car today. It has the record, the world record of transporting the most people in 1 hour. There's a cable car. Okay, the most advanced cable car. This goes back more than 300 years ago where they constructed what was called then a Gesher Poireach to get across this river. Question arose amongst a few Jews that lived in that vicinity, can we go on this Gesher Poireach on Shabbos? So they sent the Shaila to the Avodas HaGirshuni. Amongst others, they made four major poskim that passed on the Shaila, and it became a big, big topic of discussion. You think?
Is that Uf to the Hall?
Oh, wait, let me say my piece. Let me say. They sent the Shaila to the leading Gedolei Yisrael of the day to Paskin, are you allowed to go on the Gesher Poireach on Shabbos? Now, the people that were Paskin, these Shailas, did not live anywhere near the city, Koblenz. And they didn't have any interest in going and traveling there to see what it looks like themselves to discuss the issue. So in the Teshuvahs, like in typical of ancient times, the one who wrote the Shela, they describe what it looks like, all the details. It seems that in the original Shela, which we have today, this couldn't specialize in these type of things, the original question that was sent to the Avodas HaGirshuni, who lived then 300 years ago, they presented an elaborate diagram of exactly what it looked like. That diagram has been lost from us. We just have the description in words. And the question was posed, and just like today, you think today we have shilas, are you allowed to go, and LEDs, and motion detectors, and eruvim. So this was the hot topic. Big, big hot topic, big controversy broke out. Are you allowed to go on the Gesher Poireach on Shabbos Kodesh? And it opened up a very, very, very lively discussion. Why are you not allowed to go on a ship on Shabbos, on a boat? So there are uvda d'chol. There's an issue that leads to chil Shabbos, and there's an issue that it looks like you're swimming when you maneuver the oars. It looks like you're swimming. There's an issue of tuchum Shabbos. So all of those issues of why you're not allowed to go into a raft or onto a ship on Shabbos have to be re-evaluated when the ship is not a real ship. It's a gesher poireach, a flying bridge. What is a flying bridge? So they describe it in detail in the diagrams. And today, through research, we have records of Koblenz and the cities, and we have very detailed diagrams, hayoim azeh, from those times, exactly how it was constructed, what it looked like, how it operated, and how it works. In today's terminology, in the modern day terminology, if you Google it online, it's called a reaction. I've got the term already. Give me 1 second. How did I forget this? A reaction raft, I think it's called. A reaction. Please give me one moment. The exact term that we use today. It's called, in modern terms, a reaction ferry. That is the term used today. If you, in 2019, if you want to know what they're talking about, because they have today all over the world things like this exactly, nothing changed in 300 years, called a reaction ferry. It's not a cable car. Now let's explain. The words gesher pareach, flying in the air, a gesher, and if you go there today, you're going to see the most sophisticated cable car in the world that can transport 6,500 people in 1 hour. Ah, that makes sense. That's called the gesher pareach. But the more accurate term for that, a cable car in modern day rabbinic literature, would be gesher poireach bo'avir. A gesher that flies in the sky. Not just a gesher that flies. What is a reaction ferry? It's very simple. It's basically a raft. Basically a raft. And the raft is guided by cables. It should not turn left, not turn right. Because if you just let the raft on its own go down the river due to the force of the current, it'll crash. It'll go into this side, it'll go into that side, it'll go here, go there. You don't want a captain that. Someone has to have a lot of skill in order to guide it. So in order not to take any chances, they went out into the river, scuba divers, and they put anchors into the river. And they constructed along the river itself a track, like a train. And they made a raft. And on the raft, there were some rudders, which you can move a little bit. But basically, it is a train. A train that is going along a track through cables. It's guided through cables, not to deviate too much this way, too much that way in the river, anchored by some sophisticated system of cables. That will be a diagram, some pictures. I don't fully comprehend how it goes backwards. I don't understand.
No.
Circle?
We had in our city. In our city was divided into two. Is a platform and a cable, and in front a cable attached to the cable to the platform then. So these cables which were attached, they could be in, if you want to go in one direction, the front was shorter and the back was
longer.
So the flow of the water was
pushing you, right?
Now when it came to the other end,
yeah,
the other side was extended,
yeah,
longer. Now that the one it was longer, became shorter. So now the same,
but the current is the opposite direction.
No, the current goes the same direction, but you, this is here,
yeah.
So if you go this direction, here is the cable.
Aha, uh-huh, I
so
see.
This is,
I
this
now I understand. Now
I
understand. So the current is going sideways, and you use the rudder to use the force to get you to go forward.
So
brilliant. Now I get
back.
It. I get. I understand. I understand. Brilliant. Okay, now I finally understand. Finally, I understand. The current is always going in one direction, and you want to go across back and forth. So they would construct a rudder, which they can use to manipulate the force of the water going this way to direct the boat both this way and that way. Fascinating. So you're using natural resources 300 years ago. Okay, they're way ahead of things. We think they had better technology than they have today. No electricity, no carbon emissions. You use water powered, the water flow, and you manipulate the rudder in a certain direction in order to use that force to guide you back and forth along a track, along a cable.
It was a platform.
So this today, in modern terminology, if you'll go on Google to understand, you want to see exactly what this is and study the nature of the how these things operate, which they do all over the world. This is used today. This is developed today, called the reaction ferry.
And it was called bridge in Hungarian, hídos.
Okay, in English called reaction ferry. So this was presented, this is a new invention, 300 years ago, the first time on the scene. Shiloh was presented, are you allowed to go on this in Shabbos? So basically, some Rabbanim said it's osur, categorically osur, it is absolutely no different than going on a boat. In Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Shin Lamites, are the laws from Shulchan Shabbos, you're not allowed to go on a boat on Shabbos. Pasha, that's the end. Nothing to talk about. People go on cruises. It's a big problem. Mm-hmm. Big problem to go on a cruise on a kosher cruise. What are the laws? How do you make a kosher cruise kosher to go on Shabbos? It's not so simple. What are the halachas? There are many issues. I'm not going through the issues now. That's not our topic. But basically, it's a ship, but not really. Because it goes by itself, you don't even need a sailor. You don't need someone to operate it. It goes by itself. It's very comfortable. There's no tchum issue. The distance it seems was less than fourth. It was a short distance. It wasn't such a big distance. There were many reasons to suggest that all of the reasons why you're not allowed to go on a ship on Shabbos do not apply to a reaction ferry. It's a fascinating topic. Is very relevant for today's day and age. Why can I turn on an LED light bulb? What shaychas does it have to turning on the light? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to make esh. I'm not making an esh. They have the same shayla. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to go on a ship. This is not a ship. It's an LED ship. it's a new technology. It's not a ship. All the reasons why Chazal said you can't go on a ship on Shabbos don't apply to a reaction ferry. And indeed, there were some poskim that were very soft. And they said, you know something, me ikar hadin, really it's mutter, but, you know, let's not abuse the halacha. B'shas hadchak, a doctor needs to go, or someone, there's a tzorich. B'shas hadchak, you can go because technically it's not osur, but it bothers us that it still resembles a ship in many, many ways. Who are we to say that it's mutter? It's fascinating. That itself is a fascinating topic, is a mutter osur. However, now this took place how many years ago? 300 years ago. It was a big, big, exciting topic. What?
Closer to four now.
No, not four. 1698. So a little bit more than 300 years ago. Now, when was the first Shulchan, who was involved? The Sefer called the Eshel Avram and the Sharei Teshuva, the Ber Hetiv, all the famous commentators that appear in the Shulchan Aruch lived in those times. They lived in those times and they commented on this. And then the Shulchan Aruch was published. And then the Shulchan Aruch went through many, many stages. When did the Shulchan Aruch first appear pretty much the way we have it today? Big book. With all the commentators, the little teeny letters, big letters, small letters, the Shari Teshuva, the Ber Hetev. The first main edition of the Shulchan Aruch, the way we have it, the more popular one you see over here in the shul, was called the Meginei Eretz edition. The Meginei Eretz edition was published in Lemberg about 80, 80 years ago, could that be?
No.
No, no.
Much more than that.
How many years?
What year?
No, no. Okay. Okay, we have to figure out when it was published. The Megine Eretz, he doesn't say when you have Google it, Megine Eretz edition of the Shulchan Aruch, when it was published, it appears the way, that was the first time it appears the way we're familiar with it. And there, in Hilcha Shabbos, Hilcha, the laws of a boat, and Simon Shin Lamed Tes, in the bear, in the Sharei Teshuva, he has over here the actual copy. It says Be'eshel v'ayin. I can't read this. Too small. Be'ayin Be'eshel Avram le'inyin gesher ha'poirachas be'avir in the air. What? Gesher poirachas be'avir, and he goes on to talk about a yulad because the kvar kosafti mizeh b'shut simin reish mem hey ayin shom be'ayin b'shut. Shavus Yaakov, he quotes all of the rabbinic sources. It's Osir, Mutta, basically it's Osir. You can't go in on Shabbos.
Why was it called in the ear?
Exactly. Exactly. When did the Wright brothers come in? When did they live?
1907.
It's approximately 1907. It's approximately the same time flying became popular. Or this concept of things in the air fascinated the world approximately the same time when this edition of the Shulchan Aruch was printed. It was the same tikkufa when the world became blown away by this possibility of flying in the world, flying. And the printer, unbelievable, the printer, in those days the printers were tremendous talmidei chachamim. They didn't print like today. They read what they were printing. They actually read every single word because they were curious. What am I printing? And they understood it also. It's not that you say you go to a printer. A printer knows from nothing. You just press the button and he prints the book. In those days, when you printed something, you know what you're printing. The printer read Gesher Parachas. Ooh, Gesher Parachas. They definitely did not have cable cars. Cable cars in this city at that time, that's a sure. I don't know. I didn't have a chance to look. When was the first cable cars?
San Francisco?
When was the first cable car? But it seems that the printer who wrote this edition of Shulchan Aruch, who lived in a time when flying already was capturing the imagination, he read this teshuva, did not fully comprehend what he was reading, and he thought that the Gesher Parachas was something like the modern day cable car. And in order to clarify, he mistakenly added a word into the Shulchan Aruch called Gesher Parachas Be'avir, in the airspace, which basically is a cable car. And today, in this city, that's exactly what's there. The biggest cable car in the world. 6,500 people. And that's totally false. Totally false, because there's no such thing as a cable car until much more recent times. And the Gesher Parachas that they're discussing is what we call today a reaction ferry. And it crept into the Shulchan Aruch. Fascinating, and talks about going in a... What?
Probably was a suspended bridge.
No, we know exactly what it is. We know exactly this thing they're discussing. We have no doubt about it because we have records from the city. They have he has the diagram from the city. Yeah, they have the diagrams. They have they even
went
they,
in the water.
What?
It went into the water.
Yes. We know beyond the shadow of a doubt, we know exactly what it looked like, how it operated. We even know how much they charged. There were tolls. We know every detail about this. All right, guys. Enough. That's another issue. But just in principle, can you go on this thing on Shabbos?
It was more like
in principle, we have diagrams from the time. We have the details. So there's no doubt about. We know exactly with every detail what exactly how this thing is. This was clearly a reaction ferry, and it was a talk of the town. And all the gedolei yisrael, they threw their hat into paskin the halacha how this relates to a ship, and pretty much paskin ruba de ruba it's osur. B'shas hatchak, you can be makel b'l'shay satsarech. But later, printers who were Talmidei Chachamim, but were not five-star Talmidei Chachamim, got a little confused and confused, warped the time zones, the time period, and thought that the She'ela being discussed was a modern day, the equivalent of a modern day cable car, which is patently false. And Ad Kedei Kach, the printer, injected a word into the Shulchan Aruch, Gesher, Pairachas, Bo'avir. If you open up the real Teshuva Sfar from the Shari Teshuva that discusses this, and you go open up all the way, it doesn't say the word Avir. It says Gesher Poirachas or Gesher Poireach. It doesn't say the word Avir. And in fact, the Shari Teshuva is in every Mishnah Berurah. In some of the old editions, of very old editions of Mishnah Berurah, it continued to say Gesher Pairachas Ba'avir. Ah, yes, I looked at two Mishnah Berurahs, the modern day Mishnah Berurahs, corrected. Gesher Pairachas. And in I have an old Mishnah Berurah, an old, it also says Gesher. They already did Gesher Pairachas. I took out all the new Shulchan Aruchs, Gesher Pairachas. However, listen to this. Years ago, when they reprinted the Shulchan Aruch, so they changed the Tzuras Hadaf. Because it's too much, one big massive page carry around, and the letters are so small. So they redid it. They moved everything around, clear, laser print, or whatever, I'm sorry, laser print, they changed everything around, and the Shulchan Aruch, Boyer, Machon, everyone put out. And then came a whole uprising, you know the whole story. There are people out there who learn Shulchan Aruch. There really are people out there who learn. That's they do. And they were very upset. They miss very much the Tzuras Hadaf. Mm-hmm. They're used to the Shulchan Aruch arranged the way it is. So they published a new edition just for them. And in fact, it's very, very popular. It's called Shulchan Aruch Tzuras Hadaf. That's what it's called. They maybe have it over here. Every shul has it. It's like the new typeset, but the Tzuras Hadaf. I opened it up, and guess what? It still says there, Gesher Poirachas Bo'avir. They still didn't change it in the Shulchan Aruch Tzuras Hadaf. In all the other editions of Shulchan Aruch and in all the editions of the Mishnah Berurah, it was restored, Gesher Poirachas. It's not a cable car. It's a reaction ferry. Now the question is though, fine, a reaction ferry, we have quite a history of rabbinic sources telling us that you should not go into a reaction ferry on Shabbos unless Shas Hadchak Godol. But what about a cable car? Can you go in a cable car on Shabbos? I have no subway. B'Shas Hadchak you can. Rav Moshe was matir. B'Shas Hadchak, the teen in Boston, you can. B'Shas Hadchak. It's not Shabbosic to do so.
Swiping the car.
That's a separate issue. You have to jump the turnstile. They no longer arrest you for jumping the turnstile today. They stop it out. But what about going in a cable car on Shabbos? So you can bet your bottom buck that after they build it, you'll have a lot of tshuvas because now it'll be very nogea. To get to the Kaisel Maravi on Shabbos, it'll be an ideal thing to go in the cable car on Shabbos. Why not? Is there a tchum issue? It's l'mayla, it's above 10 tvachim. Is there no water? There's no water.
There's no tchum on top of 10 tvachim.
No, there's no tchum. No, above 10 tvachim, there's no tchum. No, there's tchum above 10 tvachim. There's no water. You can't tell me it's a ship. There's no water. Chil Shabbos. There's no Chil Shabbos. It happens by itself. Operates by on a timer on a machine.
It's motorized.
So interesting. A lot of the things that they struggle with by the Gesher Pairachas are not really issues when it comes to a cable car. So maybe in a chanami, it will be a technique for people to go on Shabbat. I'm sure it's not going to happen. But the question will be discussed. It's going to be a big topic of discussion. And surely you can imagine Yerushalayim, they're shut down on Shabbos for no one. Even the Palestinians can go on it on Shabbos because Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, you're not going to have Chil Shabbos. But why not? What's wrong? Why can't you go? It's a mode of transportation in order to make it convenient to go to the Kaisel Maravi on Shabbos. Why would a cable car be? Goes back 300 years ago to the Gesher Pairachas and the confusion and the topic, it all starts there. How are we going to adjust the Geshe Parah, the reaction ferry to the Geshe Parachas Ba'avir?